Hi guys, Alana here with Jamie. Thanks for joining us for another topic or COVID. What do we call? I never remember. COVID conversation at the Praying Christian Women podcast. That is way more of a mouthful than it should be.
I always find myself wanting to call it COVID, the COVID Chronicles.
That makes it sound way too long though. Dun, 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 dun. I told you how we're doing the thing on our whiteboard in the bedroom. Yes. So we'll put like day 20 and then we'll each write one thing we're thankful for. And my 14-year-old is like, when you number the days like that, it makes it feel like the apocalypse or something.
Yeah. Or like, you know, you have these visions of like being in, like in prison, counting or cast
day
away.
Day 2912.
Right. It's like, okay. Yeah. But I think it's good to I don't know, keep track. And I saw something neat on Facebook where people are copying and pasting this thing that's like, just so I remember, because I know this is going to pop up on my news feed years from now, like April 2nd, 2020, this is what's going on. And it has a place for you to fill in. What are your gas prices like? What's your, I don't know.
I don't know if the recording got that. You blipped out on my screen. Can you? So the last I heard was something about, because I know it's going to show up on my Facebook memories, and then you kind of froze.
Yeah. So, and you froze up too. So in case you didn't get that. So it comes on, it's like, because your posts come back up, you know, like on this day a year ago, 5 years ago. So it's just so that I remember April 2nd, 2020, this is what's going on. And it'll say, these are the gas prices today in my town. This is what's going on with the school systems. And then it has a lot of general things like, you know, the world is different. People are wearing masks to go out, or, you know, people are, businesses are closed, and just all of the things that are going on right now. Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. But
so when is the last time that you actually drove anywhere?
This morning.
What'd you do?
So I have a neighbor that can't drive, and she's older and has some health issues, and it's probably she needed something to be delivered to our quick care. A sample had to be taken to the quick care because of some issues she's having. So I basically put a mask on, put gloves on, met her at the door, grabbed it, drove there.
You drived?
I drived it there. and it's like a block from our house. It's on the corner of our street, basically. And it's just right up at the intersection up at the top of our road. It's an urgent care. And so they just had someone, I didn't know what it was going to be like. And I was kind of feeling nervous about it at first. Because I thought, am I going to have to go in there? Am I going to be touching things? But I basically just had to take it. They had a sign on the door that said, please don't come in, call our office. Well, I left my cell phone at home because I was just running real quick. Yeah, so I was like holding this thing and I'm like,
hello.
And they waved and they're like, okay, hang on. So that someone came outside, grabbed it, and that was it. They were wearing gloves. Easy handoff. But, And so every once in a while I'll get some groceries for her, and I've been trying to do the curbside, you know, like the curbside grocery thing. But like one time she needed a birthday card for her grandson. So I had to go in and actually pick it out. So really other than going to the grocery store, which I'm trying to do only once a week, that's the only thing that I've done other than weekly grocery trip. Yeah. How about you?
I really haven't done anything. Scott's still going into the office and he'll pick up groceries if we need it on the way home. He did have, I needed to drive to his office at some point last week because his car battery died. So I had to drive so that he could, you know, hook it up and do that. But it was like a mile and a half from home and took all of 10 minutes, you know, there and back.
Yeah.
So that's all. And our mailbox is all the way around the corner. It's like a quarter mile to the mailbox. And it's some days really, really icy. So I think like two times since the lockdown started, I've driven to the mailbox because I didn't want to go on the ice.
Well, my husband and I were trying to calculate how much we are saving in gas money during this time.
For
sure. Because between gas money and Just nickel and dime stuff. Like I would say that we had to, had is relative. I could prepare ahead, but with hockey and music schedules, mm-hmm. there's at least one day a week that we kind of like air quotes have to grab fast food on the right. way in mm-hmm. between places.
Yeah.
And so there's fast food, there's, you know, gas and just mm-hmm. things like when you're out.
Incidentals when you're out and about. Yeah.
Yeah. And the number of grocery trips that you do,
mm-hmm.
If you go 3 times a week for a couple of ingredients, I mean, how many times do you come out with exactly the number of ingredients on your list? You'll sometimes mm-hmm. say, oh, we mm-hmm. need this or we need this. So, right. you know, just things like that, I think are definitely being saved, and that's a good thing.
For sure. You know, I was even thinking, again, I'm just going to have to stop apologizing for being morbid, because I think, you know, like this is a morbid kind of time. So Scott and I were talking last night, wouldn't it be interesting to see the number of non-COVID related deaths? Because I wouldn't be surprised, like there's not going to be the same number of automobile accidents. There's not going to be the same number of like even some medical procedures. Like if it's not, I don't know how it is in other states, but right now, like if it's not a life-saving thing that you need, it's probably been postponed.
Right.
You know, so it actually made me wonder, like, are fewer people dying all told? You know, or at the very least, I would guess that non-COVID related deaths would be quite a bit lower.
Right, because of accidents. Well, and what I was wondering about too, I read a couple of conflicting articles. I was wondering about crime.
Right. And
on one hand, I feel like when people are in a desperate place, there's more mm-hmm. crime, like mm-hmm. nonviolent. Well, maybe violent, but you know.
Right.
Okay. So I think there are two levels. So on one level, maybe domestic violence has probably increased
mm-hmm.
Because of people under stress at home.
Yeah.
But I just wondered, like, if people are in desperate situations, if there's more, you know, like we talked about an article that I read when we did our Take 10 Tuesday in the Praying Christian Women community the other day. We prayed through the headlines. And one of the things I had read was that in Southern Italy, they're afraid of the mafia taking, mm-hmm. getting a foothold because of people being in very desperate situations. The
right.
South is traditionally less, they're poorer area, I guess.
Right.
And they're also seeing like some organized social media, organized looting happening.
Right.
And so I just wonder if that's happening across the country or if that's something that I have not seen any reports. The main reports I'm seeing is that crime is actually down. In
yeah.
general,
if I had to guess, I would guess that we're not going to see like the looting and things like that unless things get a lot worse. Mm-hmm. You know, like that seems to be, I know, I was listening to just this, I've been listening to some interesting history podcasts, and one of them was talking about the French Revolution and, you know, basically how a society can put up with all kinds of oppression, but when they start to starve, is when things get bad. And based on some of the research I did in North Korea for some of my novels, mm-hmm. They said the same thing, but on a slightly, and then they added another layer to it, where the worst time for a tyrannical government to have to fear like being overthrown or the people rebelling, mm-hmm. it's when there's been a period of famine and then there's a slight reprieve and then people rebel.
Okay.
You know, because now they've got like the physical energy. So all that to say, like, I've thought about that too, but I would guess that things would have to get really a lot worse for us to have to worry about that side of things.
Yeah,
but who knows, you know, things can change in a second.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it seems like probably some crime, they're saying, at least several reports that I read in different places, big cities, crime was down.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me for right yeah. now, because, yeah. you know, you're not going to be robbing people's homes if you know their home. You
right,
know.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. But yeah,
it is interesting.
Yeah, it is. just the different effects that are out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, how it kind of impacts everything.
Yeah. Well, I have some really cool story that I heard today.
Okay.
So one of our listeners is actually using the devotional that we have, the COVID-19, you know, let's see, the Praying Christian Women's Guide to Praying Through the COVID-19 Crisis. someone is using that, like forwarded it to a bunch of friends, and they're going through it together by email. Like they're just kind of hey, let's go through this together. And then they'll kind of comment each day.
That's neat.
That was really encouraging. That was really cool to hear.
That is. That's really fun. Yeah. How about you? Are you doing much like socially? Are there any like in your social sphere ways to kind of stay in touch creatively?
I have a friend that is, she has been posting these Bible trivia things on a thread that I'm on. It was like our life group thread. So she posts a picture from a book that she has with Bible trivia. It's on a text thread. And so throughout the day, we'll just, you know, whoever is like one day I jumped on, I haven't done it the
That's
last
time,
but yeah, just, and you just, whoever wants to, will jump on and say, oh, number six was this or.
I've actually thought that it would be fun to like invite another family or two and do like a Bible trivia night. We don't have like, we don't have any board games that would work, but I'm sure you could find stuff online. Cause, Scott's not very into it, but the kids and I, well, I like board games a lot, and I coerce the kids into having
into liking it
while we play them. And I was trying to think of games that like could kind of be done with others, you know, and trivia was the one that seems like it would be the easiest to translate to something where like on a Zoom call or, you know, Google Hangouts.
Right. You don't have to move things on a board or keep track of that stuff. Well, yeah. We did a virtual play day with our cousin, with my my brother and sister-in-law's kids. So my youngest and her and their daughter are similar in age. And so we just basically, I gave my daughter the phone and we did a FaceTime.
Aww.
We just carried it around. And of course, you know, there's, can I give her a tour of the house? And she's giving a tour of the house. And she set up the phone just like with a little propped up thing so that she said, now what do you want me to draw for you? Because she had her little paints. She's like, what do you want me to paint for you? So she painted this sweet little picture of the two of them holding hands, you know.
Oh, how cute.
Oh yeah. And then she said first it was, she wanted her to do a rainbow. So she like did a rainbow. And then my middle son came in and was kind of doing some of the same stuff.
But that's fun.
Kind of fun. I mean, it was just for like an hour. They just kind of walked around with the phone and talked and showed her the lizards. And then she showed them her room and they were driving to Chick-fil-A to get carry out and, you know, just stuff it was fun.
That is fun.
Did you see the thing? So are you familiar with Dolly Parton's Imagination Library?
Yeah. Yeah. And now she's reading bedtime stories. Is that what it is? I've just seen the headlines. I haven't actually seen, but you know,
I posted it on Facebook, on my personal Facebook page. Yeah.
There are a lot of things that I admire about her. We talk about the story with graduation rates? Did I tell you that story? Mm-mm. So maybe like 10 years ago or something, there was a school district in her local area that was kind of known for having really poor graduation rates. And so she went to like this fifth grade class. I'm getting details wrong, but here's the gist. She went to this fifth grade class or like did an assembly for all the fifth graders or something like that. And how it was they got paired with a buddy. And if both they and their buddy graduated, then they each got like $500 a piece from Dolly, like on graduation day. And it made a huge difference. And it's a neat story of how like one thing can make a difference. And you know what I love? I love her. She has an Easter song. I think it's just He Is Alive. Do you know that one?
Yes. Oh,
it's really powerful. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Oh, I do. I love her. I love
Dolly. Yeah. And you know what I didn't realize until recently? Did you know that she wrote that Whitney Houston song from The Bodyguard?
Oh, you know
that was a Dolly original.
I didn't realize that at first. And I just heard it recently.
Wait, so what song am I talking about?
I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
I was a big
Whitney fan. Lots of cool things. Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah. Dolly Parton was in a funny gospel, like comedy movie. I think it was with Queen Latifah. Did you see it?
Dolly Parton.
It was pretty funny. It's not. Yeah, it's not a Christian film per se, but it's about these like two women who both want to take over the church choir
I would have to watch that because I love Queen Latifah. Last Holiday is like my kids all know that's mom's Christmas movie.
I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's so funny. Last Holiday with Queen Latifah. I love Queen Latifah.
Okay.
Yeah, I loved her when she was just a rapper, and I love her now.
You know, our listeners are learning such bizarre truths about us.
I am a big rap fan. I'm serious. I love 80s and 90s rap. So it's out there.
No, it's a pretty funny one. Maybe we could find a way to like Netflix it together or something.
Oh, that would be so cool because I love both of those
movie
women.
Night. Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's really cool what Dolly's doing.
So I have a funny, when you were telling me about what Dolly Parton did for the graduation rates, I'm sure that this is where this came from. But so my husband and I like the show The Office, and there's with Steve Carell, and there is an episode called Scott's Tots. So he plays this character, Michael Scott, who's this kind of, you know, silly boss of an office. Mm-hmm. And the premise of this episode is that when he's got a good heart, but he's just kind of bumbling.
Right, right.
So the premise of the episode is that when, you know, like, I don't know, when the kids were in fifth grade, so I'm sure he was referencing this Dolly Parton.
Okay.
When the kids were in fifth grade, he realized that the kids in this neighborhood school had low graduation rates. So he went in there and he promised that he would pay college tuition for each kid that graduated.
Uh-huh.
And so then, you know, he got the memo in this episode that these kids were graduating that year. And he was like, he just says to the camera, he's like, I really thought I was going to be a millionaire by this time. Like he honestly thought that, you know, he promised this believing that he was going to be a millionaire by the time they graduated.
Oops.
So the whole episode is about him. Like he goes there and they're welcoming him and they're doing backflips and doing this step show for him. And like, he basically has to tell them at the end of all of this, they're like, you made such a difference. Like our entire class graduated. And then he has to tell them that he couldn't pay. And he ends up paying for books for one kid. And the moral of the story is that he doesn't get a lot right, but he has a big heart. And these kids all graduated because of him. But he wrote a check for this one kid to cover his books for the semester, his first
semester. That's
cute. Anyway.
Well, speaking of The Office, it's one of Scott's kind of background noise shows.
Yeah.
And did you see just a couple days ago, one of the characters started his own like positive news network YouTube channels?
No.
That was where I got the story of the girl who was coming home after the last cancer treatment. So I'll try to remember to send you the link. And then he does an interview with the guy who plays the boss. It was just a cute little, you know, they're both hunkered down doing a little, you know.
I would love to see that. I would love to watch that. Yeah, send me the link to that.
I'll do that. So for people who don't watch The Office, what else is going on? I feel like things are kind of just settling down now. Okay, so did you hear, I'm sure you're even more familiar than I am. So apparently Alaska's students now have access to like a K-12 program out of Florida. Like are your kids doing that, or are they just kind of still going through the local school, or what's going on?
The superintendent was going to be, I missed it. So like at noon, that's okay. Well, so I think it was noon today. The mayor was going to give an address and the school superintendent was going to give an update, and I totally missed it, but I'll look and find out. She might mention something about that. I saw it on the news also.
You
know, that there's kind of controversy over, well, why are we using an out of state thing with out of state teachers? And so I don't know the details so far. I have not gotten a personal, we're still just doing the local thing. It's, we're logging on to a certain, we're using Google Classroom for most of them. And then there's like it's something called Canva, which is just kind of a general online teaching thing. So as far as I know, our kids are not affected by that, but maybe they will be. And maybe I don't know what's.
Yeah, who knows?
For next year.
I read this funny story. So you probably saw it going around Facebook. There were lots of April Fool's jokes about, you know, how kids are going to have to repeat this grade.
Yes. Right?
See this? Okay. So apparently there was a local newspaper somewhere in the lower 48 that ran a story like that.
Yeah, there was a Missouri one, I know.
Yeah, Yeah, they had to take it down right away because like people actually thought it was serious, and they were getting calls from the school district because they didn't tell the school district they were running this. You know, no. I mean, it was like it was as close to an innocent a mistake as you can make, but still, it's like, oh, no. Can you imagine those? You know, like the poor superintendents and principals are getting all these frantic calls. What do you mean my kid has to repeat this grade?
Right. Well, and so I cannot pull off jokes normally. One joke of my life that I pulled off flawlessly, and I'm so proud of. Never have I been able to pull off jokes. So I tried it with my kids. I said, "Oh gosh, kids, look, I just saw that the governor said blah 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 about, you know, you're gonna have to
about repeating a grade." Yeah.
But I was laughing by the end of it, and my kids were like, "Whatever, mom." And my middle son was like, "Are you serious? Like, just in case?" And I said, "No, I'm not serious."
Well, it's funny because we did the same thing to our kids, but being homeschooled, like, they don't really care. Like,
no,
they're the kind of student like that. You ask what grade they are, and they kind of have to pause and think. You know, like, what grade am I?
Right.
Yeah. So it wasn't quite as fun here either. Yeah.
Do you want to hear the joke that I actually have been able to successfully pull off? I'm so proud of this. Sure. So I was 7-ish months pregnant with I think it was my first, and went to a Christmas party with my husband and was meeting some new people. And I had this maternity shirt thing with some maternity pants, like black pants, red shirt. I looked like a Christmas ornament. It was a big,
big old red ball.
Big old red ball. So one of his coworkers that I had never met came up to me. He said, "Hi, so-and-so, this is my wife." And he reached out to shake my hand and said, "Oh, so when's the baby due?" And I looked at him totally deadpan. I was like, "I'm not pregnant." And I pulled it off. Pulled it off. The look on his face. Oh, it was priceless. And then I started laughing and he was like, "Oh, you scared me."
That would be horrible. I can't believe you managed that. That's actually, that takes a lot of, a lot of guts.
Me neither. I can't. But my mom, like, I felt bad this April Fool's Day because I felt like I did her wrong because I did not play single prank. Did not play a single
that her
prank.
Thing?
Oh my goodness. The one that I remember the most, she had kind of like a sadistic sense of humor. Like, she loved to see people squirm. And so I was a kid. I don't even remember how old I was, maybe like 10 or 11. I don't know. So I was downstairs we had a finished basement, and that's where the TV was. So I was watching TV. Maybe it was after school. I don't know. It was just me and her in the house. I know that. And I don't know. Maybe I heard a thump. I don't know if I did or not, but I just kind of ignored it. So all of a sudden she comes down the stairs, like kind of angry. She's like, "Well, I sure hope nothing ever happens to me in real life, you know, for real." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And she said, "I have just spent the last 10 minutes stomping really hard on the floor, lying down, waiting for you to come and find me. And you never came." So this is her sense of humor. It really wasn't that funny. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, but she used to just like to play silly jokes on people. And I wish I could remember more specifics, but I always tell my kids about that and about just how she liked to play pranks.
Yeah. Well, I got, I tried to get a coworker and it totally backfired. So it was my first year of college and I was working, I was home for the summer working at the hospital lab, and there was one other team that I was working with. And then everybody else, they were like, you know, people our parents' age. It was like this whole gaggle of moms. So it was almost like my coworker and I had like six surrogate mothers, and it was like, it was a good work environment and it was fun. And there was one lady, it was both of our last days because we were both going off to college or back to college. And one of the ladies had, like, we were really close to her, and we knew that she was going to sneak out and leave so she wouldn't have to say goodbye to us because she was going to be too sad to say goodbye to us. And so what we did was we knew where she kept her purse during the workday. And so we moved her truck so that when she went to try to sneak out, she wouldn't be able to. And so then we decided that we were going to be really funny. And we were like, "Let's move her truck not just so she can't find it, but let's also park it in a doctor's only parking spot, because won't that be funny?
Oh, okay. No.
So she does what we knew she was going to do. She sneaks out and doesn't say goodbye. And we just wait because we know she's going to have to come back. We know that as soon as she doesn't see her car there, that she's going to know that we did it and she's going to come back. We're like, okay, I'm going to give you a proper goodbye. Now you tell me where my car is. So we did. She came back. Ha ha, guys. Okay, where's the car? So we tell her where the car is. We say goodbye. She comes back a few minutes later. I see where this is going.
Oh, no. Guys,
the car is not there. And so we go with her thinking maybe we just gave her the wrong directions or something. Mm. We go with her. The car is not there. And so then she gets on the phone with hospital security. It turns out they had it. She comes in. She's like, guys, they towed my car. It's going to be $250 for me to get it out. And she and her husband were like in the middle of like breaking up.
Oh,
and
she's like, no.
And my husband's not helping out. He basically said, don't come home until you have this car. And so my coworker and I, we're like 17 or 18. We're like, okay, how much money do you have in the bank? I don't know how much. Like, we're trying to figure out what are we going to do to get our poor coworker her car back. And then she started cracking up. Like, the whole thing about it being towed was a joke. So she got us back. She knew that we had moved the car. She knew we had put it in the doctor's only spot. So she went and hid it somewhere else. It was pretty funny.
That is ingenious. I love it. I love both of those. That is, mm-hmm. Oh, what a great story. Cause I did not see the twist coming.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we were pretty, it was not fun. It was like, oh no, we thought we were being like, haha, aren't we fun? And it was like, oh no, we made a really dumb mistake.
Oh no. Well, yeah, that is the kind of prank I can only dream of coming up with. Both of them, the moving the car and then getting you back. That's pretty cool.
One day you and your family and my family can do like a prank war against each other.
We'll do a prank off. I think that's one of the reasons I love The Office so much, because Jim is always playing pranks on Dwight. Although we've watched the series over and over again, and I've come to realize Jim's kind of a bully. Like, he's it's kind of in good fun, but at the same time, like, he can be kind of a bully. So yeah, for those of you that watch The Office, I don't know. One last thing. We probably should sign off soon because I got to run, and I'm sure you've got stuff to do, but my husband and I, we started watching Psych after you recommended it.
You did?
Yeah. It's really cute.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yep. Okay.
So
that makes me really, really happy. Yeah. That's like the best news I've gotten today.
Yes. It's really, it's cute. I didn't realize the premise of it, and I really like it. Okay. It's kind of a neat premise of.
Okay. So everybody can stay tuned for our spinoff podcast, Praying Through Psych.
No. We could just discuss it. We did our episode on gleaning prayer lessons through movies. Maybe we could glean prayer lessons through Psych episodes.
You know what I would totally do if I like had the energy and unlimited time on my hands and like wasn't already like writing a bunch, is I would totally make like Psych themed devotions for families to go through.
So that's cool.
Watch the episode together. It could have the little parental advisory, because it's pretty decent ish but some families would want to skip certain episodes for various reasons. So there would be like the parental advisory, and then there'd be like discussion questions to have with your family. Like, I'm never going to do it, but it's always been in the back of my head. Like, that would be so fun.
That would be neat.
Okay. So our prayer request today is for the cast members of Psych in The Office. Is that what we're praying for today?
Sure. Why not? Why not? Close. Medical workers. Close. Okay.
They're on the same level.
And other essential employees. Yes. Got it.
Well, hey, you know what? That actually reminded me. I hadn't done much with it lately for lots of boring reasons, but one of them just because I didn't have the same mic setup that I used to have. But so I hadn't been doing the Mindful Christian Prayers podcast in quite a while, but I did just do a new episode on like praying for healthcare workers that I thought would be kind of appropriate for
That's great.
Pandemics.
That is awesome. So yeah. And you can find that anywhere you find podcasts, just Google, not
the
Google,
Mindful
but
Christian search prayers.
For Mindful Christian Prayers. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I love the podcast.
Yeah. So you want to dive into the devotional for today?
Sure. So we're on day 5 and we're going to pray for medical workers and other essential employees. And our Bible verse is Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So this is kind of focused on medical workers because they're definitely on the front lines. But as we've kind of realized, there are so many other essential workers that are making the world go round right now, and they are absolutely in need of our prayers. I had a cousin of mine her husband has a family ranch / farm. Mm-hmm. And she mm-hmm. was talking about ranchers need prayers, farmers, they're doing yeah. lots of work now, and people that are going to get, you know, trying to get food on the table. They're truckers, grocery right. store clerks, researchers, utility mm-hmm. workers, bankers, everybody working nonstop to keep life going, and
yeah.
don't have the option necessarily of staying home. And mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. the precautions that I take at this time to go out just to the grocery store or just to, take something over to the doctor for my neighbor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It makes me realize, you know, there are people that go out into that every single day.
Right.
They, you know, they're putting themselves on the line. So we just need to definitely pray for them.
Yeah, for sure. Let's throw in, you know, all the emergency personnel too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Firefighters, EMTs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many. So yeah. So let's pray. Lord, we praise you for being the source of strength for those that are tired and weary, and for being the strong tower of refuge for all of those who trust in you. We thank you for all the medical professionals, first responders, essential employees who continue to do the hard work, sometimes risking their own health and safety, so that our everyday lives can continue to function without interruption of basic services like health, food, and utilities. We confess that we take these services for granted. Sometimes we just assume that they will continue, sometimes not realizing the names and faces behind those services. We acknowledge them today, Lord. Bring those names to our minds now. Let us see their faces and let us empathize with their struggle and their sacrifice. Help us to know how to pray for them and to intercede for their deepest needs, not just today, but every day. We lift up our medical professionals to you today. You know them each by name. You know the number of hairs on their heads. Meet them today with your power, your strength, and with energy to do the tasks that are set before them. Give them the drive to get up each morning, even when they'd rather stay home. Calm their anxieties and any fears for their families and patients. Give them wisdom to know how to protect themselves and provide medical supplies in abundance where there's a shortage. Cut the red tape keeping them from receiving any supplies they need or being able to treat their patients properly and fully. We pray specifically for ventilators in those places where they're in shortage, for protective medical gear for those that need it. We ask that any barrier in getting these things where they need to be would be removed in Jesus' name. Gloves, masks, gowns, hand sanitizer, even at this moment, God, that you would open doors for all of these products to be found, donated, or manufactured and gotten to the many people who need them now and likely will be needing them even more in weeks to come. Give doctors and nurses supernatural wisdom in diagnosing and treating the patients in their care. Give surgeons steady hands and laser focus, even as they're feeling uncertain about so many things in life right now. We pray that you'll sustain their mental health as well. Help them to know when the burdens of their job are taking a toll and when to seek help. Heighten awareness for friends and family, allowing them to see when extra support, help, or counsel are needed. We lift up other essential employees to you, Lord. We ask the same physical, emotional, and spiritual encouragement and protection for these people and their families as we do for medical professionals. Surround them with encouragers and people who will pray for them by name. We lift up researchers and developers of medical treatments or diagnostic testing. Give them wisdom, focus, and breakthrough to quickly and effectively deliver practical resources to identify and treat COVID-19. We ask that you would give them favor with authorities responsible for approving those tests and treatments, and wisdom that only you can give to those making decisions about what goes out to the public, to allow only those resources that are safest and most effective to reach the public. For all of these men and women serving their communities, serving the world, we ask that you would raise up the church to surround them with prayer, support, and practical help at every turn. That you would equip Christians in these positions to be salt and light in their workplace, reflecting the hope and love of Jesus to every person in their care and in their sphere of influence. In Jesus' powerful name, amen. That was a long Amen. One. That was a long one, but that there
no,
was a lot
I just
to cover
love
there.
How thorough these are. Yeah, no, I love that we can just kind of take these issues that are on everybody's hearts and kind of put them into, you know, put them into words, put these needs into human language. So, yeah, I love that we're going through these.
Well, one of the, so the praise point is that God is our strength, and there's some scriptures listed, and then be the light challenge is adopt a worker and just ask God to bring to mind one medical professional or an essential employee, and first of all, pray for them and their family daily, and then just figure a way that you can encourage them either one time or regularly. I heard a really cool thing where someone just basically called in lunch for a ward of a hospital for the nurses and doctors working there. And just, you know, basically, I don't know if it was pizza or subs or what it was.
But yeah, but I love that too, because it's helping the restaurants. You know what I mean? Like the restaurants are really suffering right now too. So that's a fabulous kind of, you know, double positivity story for people who, you know, who have the means, who want to do something like that. I think even just, you know, those people knowing that other people are thinking about them, I think is so important. Like I love seeing the pictures of people in big cities, you know, applauding the healthcare workers, you know, in their big skyrise apartments, and they're on their balconies cheering. And I love that they're getting that recognition. I love that grocery store workers are the heroes in this whole narrative, you know, because how many times have people been short with them or even made jokes? You know what I mean? It's like, you better go to college because you don't want to work at McDonald's. You know, you don't want to stock Walmart shelves.
Right.
And now, like, people who are, like, the heroes helping us not starve during this crisis. It's it's really, I think, it's a neat, neat that we're getting to recognize those people for what they do.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I hope you have a fabulous weekend. And for those of you listening, stay safe and healthy. And we'll probably be back again by Monday or pretty soon thereafter, Lord willing. And yeah, have a great day.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment to let us know what questions or topics we can address in future shows. Then hop over to prayingchristianwomen.com/journal to download your free prayer guide. We're so glad you joined us for today's show, and we wish you God's deepest blessings as you draw closer to Him and change the world one prayer at a time.